from the warm heart of the down-home gal somewhere in the heart of America. Now, if that doesn't warm you up, then I don't know what will. The name of this show is Prepare for Freedom, and my name is Sharon. You can find me online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. Now, let me introduce you to my co-host and two-cents producer, officially named Billy Bob, David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
Hi. Oh. How are you doing, David?
Oh, Billy Bob David doing fine over here.
All right. Well,
I'm ready for a good show today.
As you can see, Billy Bob's raring to go for another show, and you'll be hearing more from him shortly, as Billy Bob loves to put in his 2 cents worth. That's why he is my official 2 cents producer. Listen to Billy Bob long enough and keep on adding up those 2 cents, and you will soon be rich. Now, on to the topic of the day. We're going to talk about something kind of different. And you may wonder at first what it has to do with freedom. But believe me, once we get going and we start sharing some things with you about this, you will understand what an important topic this is with relationship to our personal freedom and what it means to you personally. The name of today's topic is denial and the cult mentality.
Oh, hi, Sharon. Hey, I got a joke for you.
Uh-oh, Billy Bob's got
a
joke.
Oh, I got a joke. Good joke for
you. Uh-oh.
Are you ready for it?
Probably not. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Sharon, have you ever been into Egypt lately?
Lately, no. Why?
Because you're in denial.
Ooh, funny man. Boo. Boo. But good point. How many of us really are in denial and don't realize it? We're going to have a discussion about this today in a way that we hope will reach you personally without being too heavy, but we do want to get the point across. Yes, indeed, denial is a serious thing to think about when we're talking about our freedoms. And so is the cult mentality. When we get done today, hopefully you will understand that the cult mentality is not restricted to people who are in cults. But first things first, let's talk about denial, and this time we're not talking about the river in Egypt. I'm going to go to the medical dictionary on thefreedictionary.com and give you the definition there. Denial is an unconscious defense mechanism characterized by refusal to acknowledge painful realities, thoughts, or feelings. And to some degree or another, all of us have it. Why? Because we're human, and we encounter painful experiences in our lives that put us there. Just to give you an example of how it works, I was in a situation back in the early 1970s. Very serious traumatic situation. And I was amazed at how my brain worked here. I was in a situation where I was actually in a building that was bombed by terrorists. This was way back before 9-1-1. But I can relate to what happened then because I was in a building that was bombed by terrorists. And of the six of us that were in the building at the time, only three of us got out alive. So, to say the least, I'm grateful to be here, and it was a very traumatic experience. Now, a very interesting thing happened to me psychologically. And I want to share this because this is how denial works, and it can happen to any of us. What happened was that it was like part of my brain just shut down, and I didn't fully understand or realize what had just happened. I knew there was a boom. My instincts were telling me I needed to get out of the darkness and the clouds and move towards the light to get out of the building, not knowing at this point even yet what had happened. Now, to do that, later on I found out it was necessary for me to walk over probably a dead body or two. But you know what? I never saw one dead body. I never saw anything. All I saw was the light getting out to the light. I had no idea anybody had been killed. I was completely, my mind completely shut me down to protect me from the emotional shock of seeing one of my friends and coworkers dead. Now, later on that evening, still in denial, I went over to the apartment of one of my coworkers to talk to him. I wanted to find out a little more about what had happened. And I was met at the door by a very, very, very upset lady in tears. And she looked at me and she said, "You mean you don't know?" She says, "You were there and you don't know what happened?" And I said, "No. Please, tell me what happened." And she says, "He was killed by the bomb blast." And then the truth hit me and the pain hit me. And it's hard to describe how I felt. But up until that point, denial had actually protected me so that I could safely make it out of that situation. So it can be useful, but if prolonged, like if we hold on to it past the point where it serves its usefulness, it becomes, what you say, kind of like a chain around our neck, because it prevents us from seeing things as they really are, and as a result, it severely restricts our freedom of choice because we don't see all of our options. And so it can be very dangerous, and it's not something that we want to have a part of us permanently. Now, moving on to, and we will be covering more about this subject in subsequent shows. We're going to start with one part of it today with respect to how it affects our freedom and how it affects each and every one of us personally and what the consequences of it are. We're going to talk today specifically about something called the cult mentality. Now, you may be thinking, wait a minute. What do cults have to do with what you were just talking about, Sharon? Well, they have something to do with it in that the common element is denial. And in fact, if I were to mention that probably, I'm guessing here, but I would say probably close to 95% of the population of the world has denial to one extent or another, you would say, no way. That ain't so. And I certainly am not in denial. And guess what? Chances are you are in denial by saying that it's not so. And that's not to mean to poke fingers at anybody. What I'm saying is it's a natural human reaction when confronted with something new or unusual or with a truth that's painful to face. Denial is our immediate reaction. And we just need to recognize how that works. And when it comes to cults and the cult mentality, it's especially important to recognize how that works because we are affected by the cult mentality in ways we may not even begin to realize. And to start with that, I want to talk about what a cult is because that will help understanding where we're coming from when we talk about what a cult is today. The common definition of cult, especially since about the 1980s, is that it's some kind of extremist or bizarre religious group that has strange beliefs, and they have a mind-controlling, charismatic leader. That's kind of the common definition. But the word cult itself, going back from the Latin, comes from a word having to do with culture. So originally, cult was a spin-off of culture. So it goes beyond simply a cult in a strictly religious sense. I'm just going to go over to the Wikipedia online encyclopedia for a moment to talk about cults, what they have to say about it. They give a little more general definition of what a cult is. And I want to cover a little bit of this for just a minute. A cult, the word or the concept of cult was actually introduced into our sociological classification in 1932 by American sociologist Howard P. Becker. And it goes earlier than that. Sigmund Freud was involved with it also. Now, he classified the religious behavior or cult behavior beyond just strictly the church viewpoint. In other words, you could have a church version of a cult, you could have a sectarian version of a cult, and you could also have what would be called a mystical version of a cult. And nowadays, we have another version of a cult, too, and I might get some tomatoes thrown at me by saying this, but we have another version of a cult that has had serious consequences today in some of the self-help circles. And I'm just going to point out one instance of where what became initially just a really fine self-help group and a great self-help teacher made that transformation somewhere along the line into a cult, and people wound up being killed, dying, in a sweat lodge ceremony as a result. And the leader of that particular group was tried and convicted and sent to jail. Now, I don't need to name the names. Those of you in the self-help circle probably know who I'm referring to. Somewhere along the line, the thinking, the mentality changed from self-help into the cult mentality. So what is it we're talking about when we talk about the cult mentality? Understanding that cults can even be, in the modern definition, can even be groups of people or aficionados, really slavish aficionados of sports, art. You know, they have a particular fetish that they are particularly devoted to, a sports figure, a performing arts figure. There are certain characteristics of cult and the cult mentality that I'm going to list for you. These here, again, come from Wikipedia. See if these relate to you in any way. The primary weapon or way in which the cult mentality grabs hold of us is through what you might call mind control. So what are we talking about? Mind control, a way of persuasion, coercive persuasion. Here are some of the characteristics of it. People are put in physically or emotionally distressing situations. Second, their problems are reduced to one simple explanation, which is repeatedly emphasized. Cult leaders do this, whatever the cult may be. There's one simple solution. They receive what seems to be unconditional love, acceptance, and attention from a charismatic leader or group. How many of us, at different times of our life, have just longed for acceptance by someone or some group? So the people who are looking for recruits to their particular group, they will be looking out for people that seem to be vulnerable, that are looking for acceptance, for like-minded people. There's a lot of different terms that are going out there now. You know, you can be out there looking for like-minded people, and if you're not careful, you may find someone out there who is ready to bring you into their group and get you thinking along that cult mentality line, and their solution is the only one, and you should be following them and buy their books or whatever it is they're doing because they've got all the answers. You really need to watch that. And we all have these yearnings for acceptance. We all have problems. We all have emotionally distressing situations. And we all are looking for simple explanations, aren't we? Moving on to number four, what they get as a result of joining this particular group is they get a new identity based on the group. The group becomes bigger than they are. Think about this in terms of gangs for a minute, you know. Are you a Crypt or are you a Blood or whatever you are? Somehow the group takes on greater importance than your own identity. Are you a, I could get in trouble saying this one, are you a tailgater? meaning tailgate partier, obsessive football fan? Billy Bob's about to object.
We're not into football now.
All right. Put it down, Sharon, put it down. Okay. Georgia Bulldogs, right?
Right.
Okay.
Number one.
All right. Ole Miss over BYU September 3rd, right?
Yeah.
Moving on. All right, finally, and this one, these are all serious, but number five, when you get to number five on this, this is where you really feel the freedom that you have being taken away, and others can sense it in you that you are now a slave. Listen to this. The fifth sign of the cult mentality. People are subject to entrapment. In other words, they're isolated from friends, relatives, and the mainstream culture, and their access to information is severely controlled. So, I'm going to turn some time over to Mr. Billy Bob now because he's got a hot item in the news recently that goes right into the topic of our conversation. Now that we've discussed with you the characteristics of the cult mentality, he's going to go ahead and carry on with a item that was in the news recently and hopefully help put it in the proper perspective for you. Take it away, Billy Bob.
Well, thank you, Sharon, and all. And thank you for warming up the crowd for me. Yeah. Okay, now seriously, we got some important issue that's been going on in the news lately, especially with this Warren Jeff, how he has got marrying these little teenager girls, 12 and 15 years old. He has, to me, in another word of, I would say, brainwashing them, of doing things that should not be done, period. This guy is 51 years old. I don't know what he was thinking about. He sure is not God. But he is telling these little girls that it's okay. And he is manipulating them, and what he's trying to do is mold them, and they're not going to forget about it when they get older. It's going to stick with them. And all it's going to do is pass from one generation to another. This person don't, I mean, it's just, it's all over the place, all over the world. It don't matter where you're at. But for somebody to control little kids like this, it's, to me, morally wrong. People like that should just be put in prison and let them rot.
Well, you know what his defense is, David, don't you?
Yeah, he is using his religion mostly all the time, even in the courts. He's trying to postpone it. And the judge is not accepting that at all.
So is this about religion at all?
Oh, no, 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 no. This, to me, this is not against about religion or nothing. This is about human mortality of what a man is doing to little girls. Marry them at the age of 12 and 15 and get them pregnant. And he has got it just an occult. He is building his family, what he calls his family, up. And he's going to let them think, oh, it's okay. No problem. Everything is all right. But in reality, these people are getting manipulated. They're getting, these little girls are getting controlled. And when they grow up, they're going to go and say, hey, it's okay. But when somebody tries to tell them it's wrong, they're going to rebel. They're not going to listen to you because it's still up in their brain, in their mind, that they have no freedom
right.
of choice. I'm thinking, well, this is right. But he got it so wrapped up in with them that these kids will not know it nothing when they grow up. They're going to follow the same pattern.
Unless what?
Unless they can break away and get their own, make their own freedom of choice.
Right. And this comes to denial, doesn't it? What about all his followers that are still supporting him, even with him now having been convicted and waiting for sentencing?
His followers are so wrapped up with him that they're in denial. They are actually in denial because they don't want to face the outside world. An occult keeps everything confined. They don't want to do with nothing with the outside world.
Right.
So they keep everything bottled up there so they can control them better. They can do whatever they want, and nobody will say nothing because he's teaching them it's okay.
Okay, that brings up another question, because people are going to say, okay, well, yeah, right, well, he was a Mormon or he was a polygamist. Wait a minute. Is this about Mormons or is this about polygamy? What is this really about?
This is about no religion at all. I don't care. He could have been a regular guy out on the streets doing this. There's no difference of him, a polygamy or child photography or molesting little girls, boys, whatever. It's all in the same category. It's an occult. It's something that they want control of. They feel comfortable in their zone.
Right.
And it's morally wrong. It's godly wrong, too, but morally wrong.
Well, and not only that, okay, even if you were to take the polygamy issue out of it, what really happened here is this man committed incest with underage girls. That is what he was charged with. He wasn't charged with polygamy or bigamy. This isn't even about polygamy. You know, we may have our own views as to whether polygamy is morally right or wrong, but the point is this man was doing a criminal, immoral act, and he was doing it from the shelter of a cult, that his cult was protecting him. His followers were protecting him, and they were in denial because they were not recognizing or refused to recognize him as being anything other than a godly man. And, of course, he could do no wrong. And so the fact that he was committing incest with underage girls was absolutely, he was God. He could do anything. And we might think that this is just something confined to, okay, we're talking cults here. We're talking Jim Jones, Jonestown, all these religious wackos, extremists, etc. This is all well and good. Yeah, we understand what you're saying here, but in our show description, we mentioned that this cult mentality affects just about everybody to some degree or another. And I can probably hear one of our listening say, like, come on now, get real. I am not a cultist. I do not have a cult mentality. So, what do you think about that, Billy Bob?
Well, if you're in denial with it, that's just as bad as you being an alcoholic and don't even say you are.
Oh, my. You mean people could actually be in denial that they have a cult mentality or even be in denial that they have denial?
That's very true. There's a lot of things that goes on that people just keep going. And our next week's show, I know I'm going a little ahead of myself, but next week's show we'll get into more detail.
We're going to get a lot closer to home next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Well, yeah, you know, the time is flying. Let's just go into this concept of the cult mentality a little further, though, keeping it still on a more general level. Like Billy Bob said, we're gonna get you right at home next week. So I want you to be thinking about that. But let's talk about in groups, just out on the street in groups for a minute. Now, we're not going to talk about wacko religious groups. We're going to talk about groups that you might be associated with. For example, the fans of a particular rock star and how this particular rock star or star, I don't even want to pick on rock, some well-prominent figure in the movies or TV or sport, wherever it is, and how these people develop such a dedicated following, and they eat, drink, and sleep this particular star, and how whatever this particular star endorses for a product, then, of course, they want one. One of the prime identifying features of a cult mentality, and that's why I say we can have it, is whenever we subjugate our choice, if we let our own personal choice be less important than the choice of the group, we are engaging in the cult mentality. For example, I can't remember which sports figure it was right now, but there was a very prominent one that endorsed Nikes. You remember who that was, Billy Bob?
Yeah, that was Tiger Woods.
Hey, that's a good one. Okay, Tiger Woods endorsed Nikes. Well, at one time, Tiger Woods had a very, very large following. And Tiger Woods could do no wrong. He was invincible. He was unstoppable. He would do no wrong. And if Tiger Woods said, you buy Nikes, you buy Nikes. It didn't matter if you saw another brand. You will buy Nikes because Tiger Woods and anybody who follows Tiger Woods, if you want to be identified as a Tiger Woods fan, you'll buy Nikes. I don't know if there was a special Tiger Woods version of Nikes. But that was the idea. It's the idea that the choice of the group is more important than your own personal choice. And this can be a very dangerous thing. Any last words, Billy Bob, before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I got a few little words here and there. A little, you know, I can only come up with something at the last minute. Why they call me Billy Bob David. Whatever you do in your life and all, whether you're going to church, married, whatever it is, watching TV shows, whatever, don't put yourself in a denial where you think that they are gods, that they control you. You have the right and the freedom to do what you want to do. Don't let somebody push you into a corner. Don't let them manipulate you and saying, oh, this is right and all, like gangs do, one of the biggest things, because gangs will threaten you and all like this. They just get a weaker person, and they can control them. That's what mainly this is all about. But be strong, heads up, enjoy life, and I hope and pray that you all have a good day, and we'll all catch you all next week, and I'll give it back to Sharon and for her little final thoughts.
All right, I appreciate that, David. And, you know, sometimes we're better off leaving things right where they are. And you know, the first thought we have about something may very well be the right thought. Don't let other people get you to do what they want you to do, to put group pressure on you in any way. When you do that, you are starting to submit to the cult mentality. And we'll get into more of this next week. Like we say, we're going to take this a lot closer to home, and we're going to see how this actually happens in our own homes, how we can take denial into its next phase, which turns into abuse, and we'll cover that next week. But you know, we're here to leave things on a positive note, and we want to remind you that no matter how far along you may think things have come and how hopeless things may seem with you right now, just remember that it is never, never, ever too late to prepare for freedom. And that's what we are here to help you to do. We want you to know that we love you, we care about you. Be aware, care, prepare, and we will see you next week on Prepare for Freedom.